I'd like to welcome our radio audience to the sanctuary of Trinity United Methodist Church. On this Saturday, we invite you to join us in this sanctuary, the 16th, on our community meal, homemade noodles and chicken, biscuits and cake. We also invite you to join us Sunday mornings for worship service at 10 a.m. Our service this morning and our flowers were sponsored by Gerald Hastings in memory of Jane Hastings. Our scripture this morning is from John 9, 1 through 41. As he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus. "But this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. As long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming when we no more can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Having said this, he spit on the ground and made some mud with a saliva and put it on the man's eyes. "Go," he told him, "wash in the pool of Siloam." This word means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. His neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging asked, "Isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg?" Some claimed that he was. Others said, "No, he only looks like him." But he himself insisted, "I am the man." "Now, then, you are your eyes open," he replied. "The man they called Jesus made this mud and put it on my eyes, and he told me to go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed, and then when I could see..." "Where is this man?" they asked him. "I don't know," he said. The Pharisees investigate the healing. They brought to the Pharisees the man who had been blind. Now the day on which Jesus had made the mud and opened the man's eyes was the Sabbath. Therefore, the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. "He put mud on my eyes," said the man, "and I washed, and now I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath." But others ask, "How can a sinner do so much miraculous signs?" As they were divided. Finally, they turned again to the blind man. "What have you to say about him?" "It was your eyes he opened," the man replied. "He is a prophet." The Jews still did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they sent for the man's parents. "This is your son," they asked. "Is this the one you say was born blind? How is it that now he can see?" "We know he is our son," said the parents. "And we know he was born blind. But how he can see now, or who opened his eyes, we don't know. Ask him. He is of the age, he will speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews. For already the Jews had decided that anyone who acknowledged that Jesus was the Christ would be put out of the synagogue. That was why his parents said, "He is of age, ask him." The second time they summoned the man who had been blind. "Give glory to God," they said. "You know this man is a sinner." He replied, "Whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see." Then they asked him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered, "I have told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciple too?" when they hurled insults at him and said, "You are this fellow's disciple. You are the disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses, but as for this fellow, we don't even know where he comes from." The man answered, "Now that is remarkable. You don't know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes. You know that God does not listen to the sinners. He listens to the godly man who does his will. Nobody has ever heard of opening the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he would do nothing." To this they replied, "You were steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us?" And they threw him out. Spiritual blindness. Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, and when he found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" "Who is he, sir?" he asked. The man asked, "Tell me so that I may believe in him." Jesus said, "You have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking to you." Then the man said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshiped him. Jesus said, "For judgment I have come into the world, so that the blind will see and those who will become blind." Some Pharisees who were with him heard him say this and asked, "What? Are we blind too?" Jesus said, "If you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin. But now that you claim you can see, your guilt remains." Our sermon this morning, Blind Spots, by Pastor Angel Armstrong.
Thank you for bearing with us with the long lectionary passage, but it does indeed describe what we will be talking about today: spiritual blindness and blind spots. I don't know how many of you have had the particular experience that I'm about to mention, but it'll terrify you, it'll add gray hairs, it will take a few years off of your life. I'm talking about teaching teenagers how to drive. Who's taught a teenager how to drive? I don't know about y'all, but that was terrifying to me. Teaching them all about blind spots, teaching them how to navigate. My two girls were the toughest. I feel so sorry for my oldest daughter. We had a bench seat, and I literally scooted over and put my foot on top of hers and used the brake. No control issues here. Poor kid. I felt so sorry for her. But she had this terrible tendency to veer off to the left. And then the youngest one had this tendency to veer off to the right. Now, my son, other than being a speed demon, did pretty good. I didn't have a whole lot of problems with him. But I can remember spending a lot of time talking about blind spots. You know what a blind spot is. If you're driving a car and relying on your rear view mirrors to check the lines behind you, there are some spots that you still will not be able to see unless you look over your shoulder. And I don't know about you when you were teaching your teens, but when I was teaching my teens, if they looked over their shoulder, whatever shoulder they looked over, the car went that way, right along with it. Blind spots are created because we do not have eyes in back of our head. Although I had my children convinced for a long time that I had eyes in the back of my head. Now, this passed by the time they were learning to drive, but I talked about the fact that I wish that I had eyes in the back of my head while I was teaching them to drive. Today, we hear Jesus talk about blind spots. We all have them. Everybody has blind spots. Not only do we have blind spots in driving, but we have blind spots in our lives. Spots where we can't see clearly what is going on. That's why it is so important to have good friends who will tell us the truth. If somebody tells you something about yourself, the first time you can shrug it off. Second time you might go, By the third time you best turn around and look and see if you got a tail, because after the third time, it's probably something that you need to realize about yourself. The irony is that Christ had just healed a man who was born blind. And in the aftermath of this tremendous miracle, the Pharisees tried to find a legal technicality to delegitimize what Jesus had done for the blind man. They said, well, since you healed him on the Sabbath, you must not be the Son of God. They witnessed the healing. They knew that he had healing power. But they said, you healed him on the Sabbath. God wouldn't send somebody who breaks our rules. You must not be the Messiah. They wanted to find something wrong with what he was doing. And our Lord, seven please, our Lord even said to them, I have come so that those who think they see will realize that they are blind, and revealing their arrogance and pride. The Pharisees responded to Jesus by saying, what? Are we also blind? And his response was basically, well, if the shoe fits, you know, yeah, maybe you do have some spiritual blindness going on. I don't know about you, but I know there have been times in my life where I have had some spiritual blindness going on. I heard an excellent example of that this morning in Sunday school by somebody saying something to the extent of, I used to judge a certain group of people, and now God has opened my eyes and taught me not to judge them, to accept them for who they are. I know that there have been times where I have had spiritual blindness, where I have dealt with legalism. This is the way it is supposed to be. But our Lord calls us to love, first and foremost, love God the Father with all of our heart, all of our mind, with all of our strength, and to love others as well. So everything that we do should come through the lenses of love. The truth was that those Pharisees had spiritual blind spots. Before we get to judging them too much, we need to hold in mind that we too have spiritual blind spots, and that we need to allow other people to speak truth into our lives, to show us where those blind spots are. We need to become open-minded and open-hearted enough to realize that when we have those blind spots, we let our God take control of them in our life. This reminds me of a story about Sherlock Holmes and Dr. Watson. They went camping. They took their tent out there. They set up their campfire. They were all ready. Sometime in the middle of the night, Sherlock bumps Watson, and he says, look up. Look up, Watson. What do you see? And Watson said, I see a million stars. What do you think about that, Watson? Well, I think if there are a million stars up there, that there must be even more that I cannot see. And judging by the constellation I see right in front of me, it must be about 3 a.m. And he turns around and looks back at Holmes and says, well, what do you see? He said, hey, idiot, somebody stole our tent. Sometimes we miss the obvious. Sometimes we are totally blind to what is going on right before us. We can be blind to what God is doing for us in our lives. How many times have you seen people who are unhappy because they are never satisfied, no matter what is happening, whether it is through the good times or the bad times in their lives? They're not happy. They don't see God's little or big miracles because they're accustomed to looking for what's wrong. I know I grew up being one of those people that waited for the other shoe to drop. Didn't matter how wonderful things were. Oh yeah, but pretty soon this is going to happen. If we are looking in that direction, that's what we're going to encounter. We're going to encounter the other shoe falling smack on our head. We here in America tend to complain about the most simple things, what I call first world problems. That was me a couple of weeks ago when the air conditioner went out. Definitely a first world problem. And I had one of those frying pan moments. God hit me upside the head and said, hey, this isn't a big deal. You have food, you have water, you have shelter. But we complain because our cable bill is getting higher and higher, and because our cell phones have roaming charges on them. Our new car isn't a Tesla. It doesn't self-drive. Our restaurant no longer carries our favorite meal. How dare they? Our spouse is not perfect. You know, I was taught that we all have the tendency to have magic magnifying glasses. And when we look at other people through those magic magnifying glasses, all of their faults begin to grow and grow and grow. Yet when we ask our God to help us to focus on self, we see what's going on in ourself and learn to correct it versus focusing on our spouse, our neighbor, our children, versus looking at the blind spots in our life. We become more accustomed to looking at ourselves. We just can't see what great things God is doing right now in our life if we're busy taking someone else's inventory. But if we could focus on gratitude, on the wonderful things that God is doing in our life, we would jump for joy. We would indeed be satisfied. The Pharisees should have been jumping for joy that this blind man was now healed. He could see. They should have been glad that God had sent a Messiah to save us. But they had spiritual blind spots when it came to Jesus. Remember, these Pharisees aren't much different than us. They were regular church members. They went to church every Sunday. They read the Word of God every day. They tithed. They participated in the church and in the community. But they got to the point where they began looking for the flaws. They knew Jesus was a healer. And I personally believe that many of them knew Jesus was the Son of God. They just didn't want him to shake up their world. They didn't want him to change the way things were. So rather, instead, they became critical. We often chide the Pharisees for their hypocrisy, but you need to realize that they were active, spiritual people caught up in trying to do what they thought was best. They came up with 613 rules because the Ten Commandments weren't enough for them. They tried to control things on their level. It doesn't matter how committed you are, everyone has blind spots. Listen, when you're driving a car, you had better be well aware of the blind spots all around you. Looking over your shoulder without veering to the right, without veering to the left, when you change lanes or move in traffic. The same thing holds true for our spiritual blind spots. We need to confess that we have them. Our Lord says that there are basically two kinds of people. Those who were blind and realize it, and those who think they can see that their way is best, but actually they are blind. Notice that both of these groups are blind. However, what makes all of the difference in the world is that one group realizes that they are physically blind and in need of our Lord and Master. The good news today is that the light of the world, Jesus Christ, has stepped into our lives and that he helps us to see clearly. He has said to us, go and wash yourselves in the waters of holy baptism. Go and remember how I died upon the cross for your blindness. Go and let the light of God's love shine upon you and through you once again. And then you will clearly see. Yes, the Son of God opens our eyes and we see him standing right before us. He heals our spiritual blindness, and he shines his light upon us. We become children of the light. We carry that light out to others. We can see now clearly how God is constantly at work in our lives. And when we can see that, when we have gratitude for that, it makes all the difference in our day-to-day life. When we see clearly that God is always with us, he is always beside us, when we notice the small things he does in our life and in other people's life, it gives us the strength and courage to carry on. Now, you can clearly see how much the Lord loves you. Look at everything that Christ Jesus did for you. Look at his passion. Look at his suffering. Look at his shed blood upon the cross. God has demonstrated his love for each and every one of you while you were yet sinners. And there's something else that we can now see. We can understand that God is always at work in our life. His love is constant. His presence is real. His mercy is unending. His power is constantly at work in our everyday life. We now perceive that everything we have is but a gracious gift from our Heavenly Father. Health is a precious gift. The older you get, the more you will realize that. Life in and of itself is a precious gift. I called all my children precious loans from God. They were a gift to me, sent to teach me. Yes, I was called to steward their lives, to care for them, but they are precious gifts meant to teach me how to love. our possessions, our gifts. Salvation is the greatest gift of all. The gift of forgiveness, the gift of pardon, the gift of salvation. Overlooking all of our sins and our difficulties. Today, we look and we see the glory of Christ Jesus. And hopefully, we can see how we bring glory to God the Father. Hopefully, we can see by our daily actions, by our thoughts, by how we love one another, that we bring glory to God. He opens our hearts and our eyes so that we see He truly is the Messiah of Israel, the promised servant of the Lord, and that Christ has made us children of God's light, people who follow what is right and true. Do we follow that every step, every day? No. That is why we are in need of forgiveness. We are in need of the shed blood of Christ Jesus. The Lord teaches us how to drive safely and how to receive His gift of forgiveness each and every day. His mercies are new every morning. We mess up today. He gives us new opportunity tomorrow. He opens our eyes to our spiritual blind spots. He opens our eyes so that we can be thankful for all of the blessings that He has poured into our lives. He reminds us how much we are loved. Now we're able to safely drive through this life until that day when we are called upon high, or until that day when Jesus comes from the east, riding in the sky to claim all who love Him. We can live forever in His creation with eyes open wide.
Yeah. Dissolve like snow, the sun.